Hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." And then Jesus told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is God's word for you, God's people. Please be seated. What a powerful story, a true story, a fitting story to consider on this Veterans Day weekend. This film speaks of sacrifice. It speaks about living as one who's been saved. The sacrifice of eight men, one in particular, Captain John Miller, played by Tom Hanks. Captain Miller and the seven men, they risked it all and even giving up their lives so that Private Ryan could go back to be with his family. His family, who had lost three of their four sons all in one day. Private Ryan was given this gift of life as he was to be rescued from harm's way and then discharged so that he could be reunited with his family. And just as Captain Miller dies, he says to Private Ryan, "Earn this. Earn it. Earn." You know, those are really interesting words because there's really nothing that Private Ryan can do to actually earn what these men have done for him. What Captain Miller is, the sacrifice that he has just made. You know, how could anyone ever possibly earn this gift of sacrifice? As far as that goes, how do any of us earn a gift? A gift. Earn it. See, in this story, we understand those words spoken to Private Ryan really mean make it count. You know, when Captain Miller says earn this, he's really saying make your life count for something. So that what we have done, the sacrifice that we've made, matters. And we see this intention in the very final scene when Private Ryan, now an older man at the grave of Captain Miller, and he says, I've tried to live my life as best I could. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me." And then he looks to his wife and he says, "Tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me I'm a good man." She says, "You are. You are." You see, church, today's gospel lesson is really a Private Ryan story. It truly is. The people are different. The time is certainly different. The place is different. Yet the message Jesus tells us is very much the same. Make it count. Make it count. Live each day as a gift from God. Live each day in such a way that you will have no fear of giving account for how you've lived out this life that God has given you. Make it count. But preacher, you might ask, this is a story about fig trees and Pilate killing Galileans and people getting squished by a tower. Make it count? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, in this text, Jesus is confronted with a group of people who tell him how Pilate has killed these Galileans who are worshiping at the temple. And of course, the common thought of that day and time is that people who were killed are harmed because of the sin that they believed that was present in their life. So you see, these Galileans must have been sinful people for this to have happened to them, because, you know, only bad things happen to bad people. Right, Jesus? But Jesus answers this statement with a resounding no. Do you think, he says, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Do you really think that the 18 who died in South Jerusalem when that tower of Siloam fell upon them were worse sinners than the rest of the people of Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, Jesus said, you too will all perish. You see, Jesus dismisses this whole idea, this whole ridiculous theology that bad things happen to people who have done bad things, and good things happen to people who have done good things. He totally dismisses this, and he drives home this shocking and urgent appeal to repent, because your time is coming too. Just like these Galileans and Jerusalemites who perished suddenly, you don't know when your time is going to run out. So be ready for the coming judgment, Jesus says. Repent. Turn away from those things that lead you away from God and turn toward God. Live your life worthy of your faith. Live your life directed and influenced by the God who loves you. Today, do that. Now. Not tomorrow. Oh, Jesus reveals this image of repentance as an urgent and shocking directive to those who are living apart from God's ways, to those who are not living their lives worthy of their faith. Jesus says to repent and turn toward God now and make those changes now. Someday is now today. And you don't know how many todays you have. Just like those Galileans and Jerusalemites who lost their life and who have no clue that their life would end as it did. You see, we really don't know how many todays we have, do we? Life is fragile. It is like that for all of us. Any of us may stand before our Maker without a moment's notice. Life is so fragile, and we really don't know how many todays we have. And so Jesus has something to say to us about that. Jesus says, repent. Turn toward God and live the life that God intends for you to live. That's what Jesus wants us to hear, is for us as His children to live the life that He's given us to live and the way in which He wants us to live, to make our life count. And if that wasn't clear enough for the people to understand, Jesus then tells them this little story about a fig tree. Now, you got to remember that this is an agrarian society. You live and you die by what you grow. And there is only so much good, fertile soil. So you want to make sure that you don't waste your soil on something that's not going to produce. Correct? Yeah? Yeah. Now, we're not an agrarian society, but we certainly understand that concept. If you only have room in your home or maybe you're in your apartment for one tomato plant, a certain kind of tomato plant that you really enjoy, but if that plant doesn't produce, are you going to buy the same plant next year? Or if you buy that plant and it doesn't produce, and then next year you buy that plant and it doesn't produce, and then next year you buy that plant, then shame on you. Right? But you know, that's not how Jesus' story goes here at all. In Jesus' story, he talks about this vineyard owner who plants this fig tree and he nurtures it and he watches it grow until finally it is old enough to produce figs. But it doesn't produce figs. It's barren. In fact, for 3 years, 3 years, this vineyard owner keeps coming back to this fig tree, and it's the same story every year. No figs, no figs, no fruit. I want to tell you, if that was our fig tree or if that was our tomato plant, we'd be done with that in the first or the second year. But not this owner. For 3 years, this owner continues to let this tree live, but now he knows it's likely it is just never going to produce any fruit. Now he has to make a change, lay the axe at the base of this tree, cut it down, plant another. Oh, but you see, the caretaker of the vineyard says to him, "Sir, leave it alone for one more year. Now it's going to be 4 years. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. I'll care for it. I'll pay special attention to it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down." Just so we're very clear on what Jesus is saying here, who is the owner of the vineyard? God is. God is the owner of the vineyard. Who's the caretaker in the vineyard who's asked for that one more year, who's taking care of that tree and nurturing it? Who is that? Jesus is. Who's the fig tree? We are. We are. We're either the fig tree in the story that's just taking up space, spinning our wheels, having faith, but not so much faith that our lives are changed, bearing fruit. Or we're the fig tree that is producing fruit by living our life directed and influenced by the God who loves us. Now, at first glance, one might look at this story and say, "Man, that is harsh. Cut down the fig tree that's not producing. Where's grace in that? Cut me off at my knees. You know, where's grace?" Well, grace, my friends, is seen in those 3 years of fruitless living, and yet that tree remains. And grace is seen now, even again, way above in that fourth year, this one more year of special attention. We wouldn't do that. Not one of those listeners would have allowed that fig tree to remain all of those years. But God does. God gives that fig tree one more year. Not forever, but one more year. And you see, that's what we need to hear. You see, today we're given the opportunity, as in every day, given the opportunity to turn toward God, to live our lives directed by the one who loves us, to repent, to turn away from those things that cause us to have fruitless lives, to turn away from those things that lead us away from God and cause us to be barren in our soul. And we know not how many days we have, but we give God thanks for this day. For today, we are here, you and I, and God's grace is open to all who receive. And God is full of grace and mercy. Grace so abundant that He even gives another year of life to that barren tree year after year after year. Church, you see, this story causes us to ask the question, how are we going to live this life that God has given us, that God has entrusted to us? What am I going to do with what God has given me? Oh, Jesus gave it all, that you and I might live, so that we might live as God's redeemed people, directed and influenced by the God who loves us. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? Just as Captain Miller dies, he says to Private Ryan, "Earn this. Earn it. Make your life count for something so that what we've done matters for you. Don't let all of this sacrifice, all of our coming after you and rescuing you and bringing you back to you to reunite you with your family, some of us giving our very lives, don't make all of this out for nothing. Make it count." You see, the story that Jesus tells us, the events of those who died, this is really a Private Ryan story. Because you see, Jesus gave it all for you. Make it count. Live your life worthy of your faith. Live each day as a gift from God. For each day is a gift, and we really don't know how many of those days that we have. Each day, turn from those things that separate us from God so that you may have no fear of giving account for how you have lived this life that God's giving you. Oh, listen. Jesus gave it all for you. And so today and every day, make it count. Make it count. Loving God, we know this amazing, wonderful sacrifice that you gave for us so that we might have life, that we might live life from day to day and live that life in you. Father, help us to make it count. To make it count, God, for you in this world. To live our lives in such a way that reflect the sacrifice that you've made so that we can be generous and loving and caring and compassionate and truly living out our faith as you have so directed us. Help us, Lord, to live for you. And in that living, to share your love with others so that others might know that same sacrifice that you've made so that they too can make their lives count for all that you have given. For this we give you praise, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray as one. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this song, Living for Jesus. This morning, if there's something that has been pulling at your heart or your life, or there's some way that your life has gotten a little bit derailed, and you're not quite where you want to be in your walk with Jesus, and you want someone to pray with, I'd be happy to pray with you up front or on the side or in my office, or catch me out in the hallway, and we can meet and share with one another.